All right, y'all, welcome to the Scott Horton Show. I'm the director of the Libertarian Institute, editorial director of antiwar.com, author of the book Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan, and the brand new Enough Already, Time to End the War on Terrorism. And I've recorded more than 5,500 interviews since 2003, almost all on foreign policy, and all available for you at scotthorton.org. You can sign up for the podcast feed there, and the full interview archive is also available at youtube.com/Scott Horton Show.
All right, y'all. Introducing Dana Taib Menmi. He's a reporter for The New Arab, and he's got this really important piece. Will Iraq's Muqtada al-Sadr end his political quarantine? Deep into Iraqi politics here, where we belong. Welcome to the show. How are you doing, Dana?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm fine.
Great. Really appreciate you joining us here. All right. So
thank you.
We're having this conversation in the future, and a lot of people are new and don't know who Muqtada al-Sadr is. So can you give us a brief sketch of the subject of our discussion here today?
Yeah. Thank you for having me for this show. Muqtada al-Sadr is a prominent Shia cleric in Iraq. He has been engaged in Iraq's politics since the 2003, and he's now have a wide population. He has large grassroots in Iraq, mainly the Shiites, and he has also supported from the poor classes across Iraq.
Mm-hmm. And then, importantly, in Iraq War II, he was sort of one of the three major groups in the United Iraqi Alliance that America fought the war for, even though they fought him at certain times as well. And so, but it was essentially the Supreme Islamic Council, the Dawa Party, and the Sadrists back then were sort of the three legs on the stool of Shiite power in the civil war, right?
Yeah, right.
And then, so it really is interesting because here's a guy who, I don't know, it seems like he could be the Ayatollah if he wanted or something, but instead he drops out of politics from time to time, I guess just in protest over things not going his way, or I don't really know, but you describe it here, or your headline writer calls it political quarantine. So how long has it been since he had dropped out of politics, and what's he been doing in the meantime?
Muqtada al-Sadr withdrew from the Iraqi political process recently due to pressure from Iran-backed groups. You know, he won the majority of seats following Iraq's early elections. And then he wanted to form a national unity government or a government from the Sunnis and the Kurds. But pro-Iran groups did not let that and boycotted the parliamentary sessions. Thus, he could not form the government. And then he decided to withdraw from the Iraqi politics.
Mm-hmm. And that was how long ago?
It was following the October 2021 elections in Iraq. Sadr emerged victorious, securing 73 seats. And he pledged to establish a national majority government in collaboration with several Sunni and Kurdish blocs, indicating disagreement with other Shia blocs aligned with Iran. But he failed to fulfill his promise to his voters. Sadr instructed lawmakers from his bloc to resign, and they did it on 12th June 2021.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then he decided to withdraw from politics. He said, "I'll not do politics anymore." And he acted as a clergyman or a cleric.
Mm-hmm. And so now you're writing here that looks like Sadr's preparing to come back into politics. So that means he's going to run a slate of guys in some upcoming elections, or?
Yeah, Sadr, there are strong indications that Sadr wants to enter Iraqi politics again. He recently made an important visit to Iraq's Ali al-Sistani, who is the Marja'iyya for all Shiites in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Following his visit to Ali Sistani, there are indications that Sadr wants to reenter Iraqi politics. First, he activated his parliamentary bloc, and he also ordered his a special body within his party to engage and contact his grassroots. He also recently changed the name of his party. Previously, it was known as the Sadr's Movement, but now he changed the name of his party into the National Shiite Movement. The National Tayar al-Watan al-Shi'i, translation is the National Shiite Movement. And he also changed the flag of his party. The flag consists of the colors of the Iraqi flag with the name of his new party on it. And there are also further indications that Sadr wants to re-enter Iraqi politics and participate within the upcoming parliamentary elections in the country. There are indications, there are some political sides really want Iraq to hold an early election. But currently, Iraq's Prime Minister Mohammed Shia Sudani and other Shiite political parties really, they do not want these early elections to be held. And that's a problem. Sadr wants to re-enter politics, but he wants a better ground. And if not his conditions met, he will not decide easily to re-enter Iraqi politics, because there are many challenges facing him.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting to read this article. It's really the same story since 2003, where, you know, the people in the chair are a little bit different, but it's still Dawa, Skiri, and Sadr here are the major players, right? With Nouri al-Maliki representing the Dawa party, and al-Sudani, the current prime minister, is from ISKI, right? And so, you know, back then, it's almost 20 years ago now, I guess it's 20 years ago, in the last war, or no, sorry, two wars ago, the idea was that in the American government story was that Sadr was the one who was closest to Iran, when really it was Dawa and Skiri that had lived in Iran for 20 years at that point, and Sadr seemed to be the more nationalist and more willing to cooperate with the Sunnis, like in Fallujah in 2004, you know, with the Najaf uprising at the same time and all that. So, but you quote an expert in your article here saying that, well, right now, Maliki from Dawa is representing Iran's interests. That's George Bush's guy. But he also says that, I think, I don't have the exact quote here, but I think the point is that Sauder will be representing Iran's interests now as he reasserts himself. In other words, saying that Sauder is really the one who's closest to the government in Tehran. Did I read that right? And is that correct?
Yeah, but I think it's this quote is represents the expert himself. I really don't think that Sauder may represent or will try to implement Iran's agenda in Iraq. Because if that's the case, why Sauder withdraw from Iraqi politics? Sauder himself put politics under pressure from Iran and pro-Iran factions in Iraq. So reading the general political landscape in Iraq, Sauder seems to be more nationalistic rather than other pro-Iran Shiite parties. This represented from changing the name of his political party and the flag of his party. And in his stance, Sauder always keeps a nationalistic view regarding doing politics in Iraq. He often, said that Iraq should not be aligned either to Iran or the West. Iraq should have its own policies. And back to your question, I think the current government led by Prime Minister Mohammad Shia Sudani and the pro-Iran factions who are behind him are more close to the Americans and the West. So I don't think Sauder will be pro-Iran enough to re-engage in Iran. But it's politics. I think if Iran promises him that he'll back him, maybe why, if he secures the majority of Iraqi parliament seats, maybe he'll form a majority government.
Hey guys, I've had a lot of great webmasters over the years, but the team at ExpandDesigns.com have by far been the most competent and reliable. Harley Abbott and his team have made great sites for the show and the Institute, and they keep them running well, suggesting and making improvements all along. Make a deal with ExpandDesigns.com for your new business or news site. They will take care of you. Use the promo code SCOTT and save $500. That's ExpandDesigns.com. Man, I wish I was in school so I could drop out and sign up for Tom Woods' Liberty Classroom instead. Tom has done such a great job on putting together a classical curriculum for everyone from junior high schoolers on up through the postgraduate level. And it's all very reasonably priced. Just make sure you click through from the link in the right margin at scotthorton.org. Tom Woods' Liberty Classroom. Real history, real economics, real education.
Hold on just one sec. We got to make some money here. Man, Starbucks' support for Israel's ethnic cleansing campaign is almost disgusting as their coffee. Don't you just hate them? You, me, and a lot of other people, too. It's time to boycott and divest from those genocidal, blood-drinking traitors at Starbucks. But you're still going to need your caffeine in the morning. Well, you guys are going to love Mundo's coffee. It's so good, and the price is right. Check out a massive variety of awesome-tasting coffees at mundosartisancoffee.com. You'll be glad you did. That's mundosartisancoffee.com. Well, so far, you know, in 20 years of this, he has not really been the winner, but always just the kingmaker in the background who kind of helps to put the coalition together, but is never the chief of the thing. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, I guess. What about the idea then that he would bring Sunni Arabs from the West into his coalition and that would be, you know, some kind of major reconciliation after the ISIS war could be the basis of a new government?
Yeah. Sauder initially made an alliance with the Sunnis represented by Muhammad al-Husi, the ousted parliament speaker, and other factions, including Hamid al-Khanjar, and the Kurdish political party led by Masoud Barzani. But Sadr's coalition collapsed after Sadr withdrew from politics and ordered his lawmakers to resign, who they all resigned from the parliament. So the Sunnis, led by Al-Halbusi, and the Kurds, led by the Barzani party, all joined the current government led by Prime Minister Mohammad Fayyad Sudani. Currently, Mohammad Al-Halbusi is ousted from leading the Iraqi parliament, and as per a decision by Iraq's federal court, he's been sacked. But he has several ministerial portfolios in the Iraqi government. So recently, Halbusi threatened that he will withdraw from Iraqi politics or the Iraqi political process if his agreement he made with the ruling coalition will not meet. So I think it's a possibility that Sadr re-engaged make an alliance with the Sunnis or the Kurds, mainly the Barzani party.
All right, now, all the various attacks on American forces in Syria and in Iraq have been blamed on Iraqi Shiite militias. Do you accept the way that they say that it's the Shiite militias like Khatib Hezbollah that are doing the attacks against American forces, I guess, up in Kurdistan and in Syria?
Yeah, I think they are launching attacks against the U.S. forces, the coalition forces, and U.S. bases in Erbil, the capital city of the Kurdistan region. And they did not hide this. They publicly said that their aim and their demand is that the U.S. forces, all the coalition forces, should withdraw from Iraq. And they granted Prime Minister Sudani some time to negotiate with the Americans and the coalition forces to arrange for a withdrawal from Iraq. So now, if Sudani fails to convince the Americans to withdraw their forces, maybe they will resume their attacks. And also connected to the Israel war on Gaza, they launched tens of drones and missile attacks against U.S. forces or U.S. bases in Iraq and Syria. Even they claim they have attacked Israeli targets inside Israel, in Haifa and so on. So, but they do not announce their activities, let's say, with their own names. They announce their operations under the Islamic Resistance in Iraq, which is an umbrella name for all Shiite groups aligned to Iran and fulfilling Iran's agendas in Iraq. I mean, they are proxies of Iran.
And then, so how independent are they from the Iraqi army? How much control over them does the central government have, if any?
The Iraqi central government, or let us say Iraq's prime minister, who's the commander-in-chief of all the security forces, according to the Iraqi constitution. These factions do not follow orders from the Prime Minister Sudani. They follow orders from Iran's Quds force and Iranian supreme leader, Ali Khamenei. This is not my speech. Recently, one of the leaders of Iraqi Popularization Forces, or Hersh Shabin in Arabic, He said he was in Iran. He said that we are ready. We are waiting for orders from Ali Khamenei to launch attack against the U.S. forces in Iraq, in Syria, or in Israel. This statement came after Israel attacked the U.S. Consulate in Syria and led to several high-ranking Iranian generals killed. You know, that they do not hide that they are following orders from Iran and they are working as a resistance access. They are defending, they claim they are defending the people of Gaza and so on. So they are publicly saying that they are following orders from Iran, not the Iraqi government.
Right. And in fact, after a few of those attacks, apparently the Ayatollah told them to knock it off and they did stop. Because he was trying to prevent the war from spreading, you know, to too great of a degree at that point. So, all right, listen, I'm sorry I'm all out of time, but this has been a great interview. I really appreciate your time on the show today, Dana.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Have a good one.
The Scott Horton Show, Anti-War Radio, can be heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in L.A., APSradio.com, antiwar.com, scotthorton.org, and libertarianinstitute.org.